Saturday, July 17th, began with an attack on the Aegean stable, my desk. In Texas, I had received envelopes from Ashton, full of mail, and worked on them, but not enough, for the wood wasn't visible on my desktop. I spent all morning working on it, except for two excursions to the ground floor to greet our weekend guests, the John Steinbecks and the Billy Grahams, both of whom I'm delighted to have, but dissimilar to say the least. Lyndon had asked them, "We're going to Camp David." Sometimes I don't know whether his choosing of people together is by innocence or by design. They're both great workers in today's vineyard, but to rather different audiences, it seems to me. I convoyed them each to a third floor suite and told them lunch and take off to Camp David would all depend on Lyndon's work morning. Excused myself and got back to the desk with an interlude for a talk on finances with Lucy. How different those children are about money. Linda handles hers so carefully, so well aware of what everything costs, and can look very nice in a dress 3 years old. Lucy adores clothes, buys so many of them. Her money vanishes like snow under the Texas sun. "And yet, I just don't have a thing to wear, Mother," she says, and it's true. And last year's clothes are never quite right for that butterfly. It was 3:30 before we sat down to lunch, the Steinbecks, the Grahams, and Lyndon and I. And then I still try to give Lyndon a cup of hot bouillon ahead of time when he's that late. But I've gotten past worrying about what the guests think, because the tyrant that rules his life is not social correctness, but work. I was dying to find out what had happened to Billy Graham's proposed trip to Alabama. I hadn't read a word about it in the papers, and I knew it was a bold, actually a courageous thing to do, because his meetings are always completely integrated. The temper and climate of Alabama, when she first talked about his trip in April, has been hot. So I just asked him sort of a tentative question, "What have you been doing since I saw you in April?" "Well, I went to Alabama," he said, "and I held meetings in Dothan and Montgomery and Birmingham," and on he went. "The smallest meeting was in Dothan, 5,000. It doesn't seem to me Dothan has many more people than that. All fully integrated, all very peaceful. The largest one was 18,000. Was not an incident, not a ripple. Sometimes," he said, "there was even a feeling among his highly organized group who run his crusades that the white people made a conscious attempt to sit beside a Negro." He said the local papers carried the stories with full play, all except the Dothan paper, which was very hostile. There the TV helped him with wide coverage. But here comes the question mark. He said there was practically nothing taken up on the national wire about it. I had not seen one word about it here in Washington. Lyndon accuses me of never reading the papers. It's true, I don't scour them like he does, but I had not read even one little notice. What strange commentary on the taste of this decade that a success story is not news. If it had been a march, a riot, or somebody even got a skinned knee, it would have been a headline. If we want to cure ourselves of some of the strange sicknesses that beset us in this age, one good medicine would be to make a success story, an achievement, real news on the radio and TV. He'd also been to Canada, Billy Graham had. "To Alberta, which is as big as Texas and California and Oregon," he said, "and has a very few people. But Vancouver, where there are 2 million. How ignorant I am of our neighbors to the north." A little after 4, we left for Camp David. Governor and Mrs. Ellington, the Watsons, Marianne Means and Emmett, Vicky and her date Mike Fenner, Buzz, the Jack Valentis, and Courtney Valenda, and the Harry MacPhersons, and their adorable Coco, and their 5-week-old son. What an entourage the Johnsons are. As soon as everybody was assigned a cabin, and how smooth and helpful Commander Howell is about arranging us, I got into slacks and beat a beeline to the bowling alley. Lyndon played a marvelous game and won. I was dogged and pedestrian. A disappointing score, but a determined player. Marvin and Marion are so nice to have along in any work or play. Capable, handsome, fun, both of them. Elaine Steinbeck and I talked about Austin, the university. It's because of her that the university has acquired many of the first editions and the very special works of playwrights. The university is a place you can love, and she's turned her love into building for them by adding such literary treasures. John Steinbeck, with his cane and beard and bright colored shirt that looked like the Virgin Islands, and I found indeed that they were devotees of the place, just as I am, was an exotic note among us plainer citizens. Elaine is a thoroughly attentive, bolstering, charming wife. She's the sort of woman who makes things go socially. For instance, she'd expressed immediate pleasure when I told her that the Grahams were their neighbors across the hall in the White House. "I've always wanted to meet them," she said. Billy Graham does, in fact, look almost too good to be true. So tall and handsome and fine and athletic and intelligent, natural, persuasive, terrifically organized and businesslike. To my thinking, a force for good in this country, and someone I enjoy being around. Elaine capsuled it, and there was no intellectual acid in her tone that you might expect from some of the arts and writers group. He's a great opinion maker. Billy Graham himself used an enlightening and amusing expression when he spoke of Harry Luce coming down to see him one time. "He spent 3 hours with me," he said. "He wanted to see if I was real." No laughter, just straightforward. Some of the guests walked, and most of us bowled, and Nick and Lydia Katzenbach joined us for dinner, immediately establishing an affinity with the Steinbecks. When it comes time to arrange the seating, I always think how comfortable it is to have Bess. But I seated the Katzenbachs and the Ellingtons in the appointed spots. From there on out, everything was very informal. After dinner, we watched the NBC movie, A President's Country, only this time without sound. I think the finished product, the script, the music, can be a good backup, a good complement spelled with an E, for my beautification program. And then I went back to watch Gunsmoke, and the younger folks stayed up to see a movie called How to Murder Your Wife.